hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts, Jacob Cazell and Jeff Janey.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. My name is Jeff Chaney, and along with me tonight is Jacob Cazell.
Hey, everybody.
How are you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing wonderful. It is Sunday night, and we are back again recording, and that is just a great thing. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing really well. I had a good day.
Awesome.
Had a good weekend. Ready to get back to not really.
Oh, and we just ruined the mood.
Swing and a miss. And also joining us tonight, old Beta Mouse pal, Nate. How's it going, Nate?
Hey, doing well, my friend. Thanks for having me on. Super excited.
I am excited to have you on.
He's only excited because we haven't started the show yet. That excitement's going to go way downhill real quick.
Is this the dress rehearsal? Is that where we're on?
No. This is it. This is as good as it gets. You know, we named our podcast appropriately.
It is accurate.
We try to strive for average and miss weekly.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. I miss our old Beta Mouse chats.
I know,
Jeff. That was a good time.
I think we've had almost everybody back on now, haven't we?
We need to get
Henry,
Katie,
right?
And we need to get Henry, and then we'll have the
good luck with that.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to hold my breath on either of those. So there you have it, folks.
Today's actually Scott's birthday. I know. Speaking of Beta Mouse, I want to wish my friend Scott Barrett happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Scott. I know you don't listen, but if you did, you'd know that we said happy birthday.
A year younger than me, Scott. You'll always be a year younger than me. Just remember that.
I think you're both younger than me, so.
And that's really all that matters, right?
That's right. Yeah, I guess so.
Just finish up the little housekeeping we do at the top of the hour. If you would like to call in, leave us a comment, a rant, a question, something that we should be addressing, please feel free to do so at 317-643-1212. We will listen to your message and we will address it on an upcoming show. We might even make you internet famous unless you beg us not to, in which we will likely listen to your request.
Yeah, it depends on who you are. If we don't like you, we're going to put you on anyway.
Exactly. So you know who you are. You know who we're talking to.
Ellen. We're talking to you. She's never going to call us.
No, I know. Hey, let's start off the show talking about this. Last week, we talked about a music playlist experiment. And we have started getting some songs in, including earlier today. Nate was a guest of the Be Our Guest podcast with Mike Rallman, a guest earlier on one of our podcasts. They had a 12-hour live show today to raise money for Give Kids the World. And Nate was a guest on that show. I was a guest on that show. And while I was a guest, I happened to get all of the normal Be Our Guest podcast folks to give me their one song. I explained it no better to them than I did to you. So don't feel like I cheated you.
Nice.
I just said, what's your one song? And we got some updates on that. So I'm going to throw out some of the wonderful selections we have so far, some of which I don't know yet, but I'm looking forward to getting to know them.
And I just want to point out, Jeff, that you really hit a home run with this. This has resonated with quite a few of our listeners. And we've had, I think, more feedback from this than anything we've ever asked them to do for us.
Well, you know, I totally stole the idea from Andy and Notco. So I'm going to, you know, that credit where credit is due. But I think it's a great idea because I think what we're getting is a very eclectic choice of music, and I think it's going to end up being pretty cool. My plan is maybe at the end of this month to cut off your one song playlist, and I'm going to create a shareable playlist on Spotify and on the new Apple Music service, and we'll throw it out there and let people listen. So I think that's the plan. But so far, we've got some interesting picks. Let's see here. We've got, I'm going to go across the Be Our Guest ones. So Be Our Guest ones, we have What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
You can't go wrong with that.
Solid pick, right?
Absolutely.
So we also have Bye 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 by NSYNC.
and this is the one song, right?
Yeah.
It is catchy, right? You can't argue with that.
It is. And that was by Ricky from the Be Our Guest podcast. Pam picked When I Fall in Love.
Okay.
And a specific arrangement by Chris Bode, who's a trumpet jazz artist who's very good. I kind of put an asterisk on one, and I took it off the official list because, quite honestly, I can't put it on any playlist. we had a selection for the background loop of Club 33, which is some solid good music from those of us who have those Disney Park audio. Maybe not so legally obtained, but
I just listened to it on YouTube, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I think it can pull up on YouTube as well.
Okay. Unfortunately, so I don't think I can.
For those of us who do not know, explain it in 30 words or less. What is Park 33 Loop?
Club 33.
Club 33 Loop. Club 54. So I know what Club 54 is.
Club 33 is the exclusive club at Disneyland Park that you and I can't get into because we don't know anyone.
I heard you had to kill one of the Small World kids
and aren't to get in. Extremely rich. Maybe. And they, like every place else in the entire Disney resort, community, park, anywhere related to Disney, have a background loop of music playing in the background at all times.
Well, why wouldn't they? How rich do I have to be to have my own background loop? I just have a guy that walks behind me with like a boombox and just plays my theme song.
You pay me 120 grand a year, dude, and I will follow you anywhere with the boombox playing music.
Okay, the problem I feel like is not getting you to follow me with a boombox. It's composing my anthem. Like, I want people to hear that noise and go, oh, Jacob's about to walk into the room. Yes,
I don't trumpets think I can help
and
that.
Strings, angelic choirs. No? Okay.
So we just had a new addition to our list as well. Nate just put in the show notes, Boat Drinks by Jimmy Buffett.
That's oh, yeah.
A solid choice.
It's a good song. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, anything by Jimmy Buffett, right? It just sitting there with a rummy drink. Can't go wrong.
College buddy of mine, John, put Roll the Bones by Rush.
Okay. Good song.
Solid song. We have some other ones here. Let's see. The Blower's Daughter by Damien Rice. Sent in to us from Melissa.
Yeah, and I want to point out that I actually knew this song first by, there is a group. I guess you'd call them a group. I don't really know what they are, but it's Scala and Colancy Brothers, and it is a young girls choir. And I know that sounds creepy, a guy talking about a young girls choir, but it's a choir of like maybe 25 or 30 girls, and they're probably pubescent, and they cover these songs that are, and they're just haunting, and it's all harmonies and interesting arrangements. And they do a version of The Blower's Daughter that I just love. And so I actually had sent that back to Melissa when she sent it to us, and she said she hadn't heard it and was going to go check it out. So I would recommend that too.
Another one from a college buddy of mine, from Todd, Elementary by Marion Call.
Yeah, I had not heard that one. I think that was one I had to look up. They were not on Google All Access. They were on Bandcamp. So a little bit more of an obscure track.
Absolutely.
A good friend of mine is a big fan of The Bravery. He liked Believe by The Bravery, and that is a solid, catchy track. I really like that one. What else do we have?
They have a new album out.
I know who they are. It's one of those, like, I'm aware of the band and I catch their music every now and then, but I couldn't tell you like when they've had new albums out or anything like that. Possibly. Jeff, who was a guest on one of our earlier shows, Jeff and Carl, the Zombie Slayer guys, he gave us two because he's a rule breaker. He was a rule breaker on that show, and gosh darn it, he is still a rule breaker. He either picked Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson or, like completely not even in the same ballpark, Bangarang by Skrillex, which... Okay, I like both. They're not bad.
We're X and Bangarang by Skrillex right off the list because I told him he can only pick one, and he picked Smooth Criminal. So take that out of your ear holes and pretend like you didn't hear it unless someone else wants to submit it.
But I need that bass dropped, Jeff. And Michael Jackson does not drop the bass.
No, but if I can get my son to he'll throw bangering by Skrillex in.
Okay, there you go. I feel like that might be a little bit staged there. Hey, son, you know, nudge, nudge. How about you submit this?
Skrillex is one of his faves, so okay. He may not pick bangering, but he'll pick a Skrillex track, I feel.
Or, as I like to say, a young Corey Feldman.
Yes.
Go look, folks. Skrillex is Corey Feldman. I'm not. Have you ever seen him in the same place at the same time?
No, you haven't.
Well, I don't think you see Corey Feldman in any places right now, actually.
He had a show, a reality show, a few years ago with the other Corey. What was that? Corey Haim. Dead Corey.
Dead Corey, right.
And that was, I think, the last time I saw Corey Feldman. And gosh, that was like 4 or 5 years ago. And I think the show was actually called The Two Coreys. And
Two Coreys, yeah.
And now it's the one Corey and the not Corey.
Yeah.
Poor Corey Haim.
He's still Corey, but he just isn't picking any songs or doing much anything.
No,
that is true.
Kind of just laying around.
Laying around, no. Right.
We had a pick by Howard of The Poets by The Tragically Hip. Another good, solid choice there.
Yeah.
Concave by The Lowest of the Low. By Brian,
which I had never heard before, and I went and listened to it. It was on the YouTubes, and it was pretty good. And I've got one that I want to add, and I don't care if I'm being a rule breaker. I highly recommend you guys go check this band out. It's a great song. It's called My Leather, My Fur, and My Nails, and it's by an electropop band called Stepdad. And they, I defy you to be in a bad mood while you're listening to them. I actually went to a concert like 4 or 5 years ago and saw Fits in the Tantrums, which is another phenomenal band. If you guys
they're awesome.
Yeah, they are. And this was right before they blew up and like nobody knew who they were. And I saw them. We have this little club here in our city that, you know, probably 200 people, 250 people can fit in, and got to see them when they were still, you know, nobodies. And they had this band, Stepdad, opening for them. And I think Stepdad did as good of a job as Fits in the Tantrums did. Just a really eclectic, fun electropop band. So check them out. I really like them.
I don't like rule breakers. I just got to point that out.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
Seems a little disingenuous to
rules are there for a reason. Am I right, Jeff?
Exactly.
The rules are there to be broken. And I'd like to point out that this is my show too. I've never heard that phrase before.
Rules are there for a reason. Yes,
the reason is to be broken.
I think rules are there to be rules. These are not guidelines. These are in fact rules.
That's it. The podcast's off. Sorry, folks, but Jeff just ruined it for everybody by being a stickler. I'm out.
You know me, Jacob, a total stickler for all
total
rules.
Total stick. That's what they call you behind your back, Jeff the Stickler. Oh wait, I think they call him the Jeff F. I'm going home early.
Keep these things to ourselves.
Oh, okay, sorry. All right.
So yeah, keep sending them in, everybody. We are loving all of the interaction and the great songs. I think that's all of them, right, Jeff? We're caught up.
I think that's it so far. I know Ellen said she sent one, so I'm not seeing hers on the list, but I haven't checked the email recently. So
we're calling you out, Ellen. Don't make us come get you.
She sent it to our email, so well. Yes, could be solidly on our end there.
I blame her. She knows why.
I think that's fair.
Well, keep sending them in, everybody. We are going to keep collecting them, like Jeff said, and do something cool with them. Tech stuff, Jeff. What tech stuff have we got to talk about? We had a big tech week last week.
I think we kind of had a pretty big tech week around Apple and WWDC.
Yeah, and I know how much people think we just don't talk about Apple enough.
So, yeah, absolutely true. Why do you have OS X 11? It's not OS X 11, crazy man.
It's not pronounced OS X. I just like to point that out. They call you the stickler. They call me old Mr. Pedantic.
Okay.
It's actually OS 10, 11.
11, yeah, I get it.
El Capitan.
And, you know, for those of us who maybe know from the Midwest, could they not have used El Conquistador?
That would have been good.
You know, I don't know.
Why El Capitan? I guess, I heard an interesting discussion around that. And, you know, we had Leopard and then we had Snow Leopard.
Right.
And Snow Leopard was supposed to be more just a extension of Leopard to kind of clean things up, right?
Yeah, make it more stable, fix compatibility issues, sure. Things like that. So now not really had, huge changes.
So now we had Yosemite.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Well, Mavericks first, right?
Yeah, okay. But the last release was Yosemite.
Yeah.
And this one is El Capitan.
Right.
Where is El Capitan?
It's in Yellowstone,
Yosemite.
Right?
No, it's in Yosemite.
Yosemite, okay.
And so this is an extension of Yosemite to clean up Yosemite, thus the El Capitan.
They're smart people out
there.
They
are, aren't they?
I never made that connection.
Well, there you go, folks. So that's the reason they picked the really poorly named El Capitan.
But, come on. How often is it cool is it that you can say, my computer's running El Capitan? You just got to get into how you pronounce it. And that's really all it is. OS 1011 El Capitan. Viva la El Capitan.
I'm still running Maverick, so, yeah.
Really?
Oh, you haven't upgraded to Yosemite and broken everything like I did?
No, that's why I didn't.
Yeah. So are you gonna give El Capitan a chance?
I probably will.
I don't know why you wouldn't, because Snow Leopard was such an improvement over Leopard that I imagine if they can capture that lightning in a bottle a second time, that El Capitan will be a significant upgrade over Yosemite. Although, knock on wood, I haven't had a lot of problems with Yosemite in the last couple of patch releases that they've put out.
I haven't either. Let's talk a little bit. Basically, they came out and said this is majorly a... I cannot speak tonight. Let me take a deep breath. Okay. They're saying that it is mostly a stability increase, speed enhancements, battery improvement enhancements, mostly under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Improvements. There aren't really any what you would call sexy new additions. There are a couple things that I don't know if you watched or listened to the announcement.
So I have to do a little mea culpa here. I knew that the keynote was going on, and I knew that the keynote started at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And mm-hmm. I was sitting there just fat, dumb, and happy, and I looked down at my watch, and it was like 1:45, and I went, oh, crap, the keynote. And so I missed pretty much every single thing that they said about El Capitan.
Okay, so I was driving between
and you were listening, weren't you?
Northeast Indiana and Columbus, Ohio, to go to my Rush concert, and yes, I did listen. Not only did I listen,
you had video on, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's not slightly illegal at all.
No, come on.
Yeah,
it's a guideline. You know me; I'm not really a rules kind of guy.
So yes, I did miss most of the El Capitan stuff. So no, if you've got something that is kind of cool that they talked about, I probably don't know it. So tell me about it, Jeff.
So one of the things, they're opening up an APK for the Force Touch.
Okay, an APK or an API?
An API. Why did I say
there
APK?
We go.
I told you I am having a problem tonight.
You're not even drinking beer. Maybe that's the problem.
No, I'm really tired. But anyway, an API they are releasing for other applications to take advantage of Force Touch. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
There were just a couple others, and they have totally spaced my mind at this point. What with the fact that I can't even pronounce things correctly, that shouldn't come as a shock.
One of the thing I saw at the very, very end, so I take it back, I didn't miss all of it, but it looked like they're in doing even more with continuity between devices. So it looks like they're really improving and extending continuity. So if you were all into the Apple ecosystem with your iPad and your iPhone and your Apple Watch, it's all going to, play together even nicer and better. So,
yeah, there was a couple of quick shortcut things that I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, that weren't like groundbreaking, but I cannot for the life of me think of what those were at this point. So I apologize, folks. Didn't jot them down at the time because, what with the driving and all. And
and it's the No Better Than Average podcast. So we are just right there. No better than average. Some OS 9 stuff.
There was some really cool iOS 9 stuff. So
yeah, really cool. If you have the one model of iPad to support the really cool stuff.
Well, yeah, I guess. They're making the move to iOS easier.
That's true.
Something,
and
right?
They've created some stuff to help Android users bring their contacts and their settings and all of that stuff over with an app called Move to iOS. So if you're an Android user and you want to jump over to the iPhone and you need help doing that, that's going to be there. Although I make the argument that, man, today with the ecosystem the way it is, like, you can pretty much live on either any device with all your stuff out there in the cloud, especially if you're using Google's services. Like, I use Google's contacts, and those sync seamlessly across my iOS devices, across my Android devices, on the web. So I'm curious how much of a you know, useful app and utility that'll really be. Maybe there'll be people out there that are going to use it. I know a big one that they talked a lot about, which it's kind of surprising that this is one that they actually, you know, toot the horn about, but this upgrade will require a lot less free space. It's only, and I'm putting air quotes around only, going to take 1.3 gigabytes of free space on your device compared to the 4.6 that the upgrade to iOS took. But that bit my girlfriend in the butt, because she has a 16 gig phone and ended up having to back up a whole bunch of pictures and delete them before she could do the upgrade. And, you know, shame on you, Apple, for still making 16 gigs the entry point. It should be 32 by now. And I'm shaking my finger vigorously at you, Tim Cook. Make it 32.
Okay, you know, in the interest of throwing some things back at El Capitan, I did a quick Google search because I knew there were a couple things that I wanted to mention, and I found them. One is the ability to do split pages on, or split view on, the actual screen, so you can kind of drag one app to the left bar, mm-hmm. and it'll fill half the screen to the left, and then another app to the right bar, and it'll fill half the screen to the right. Oh. Which is, I find, very useful, especially when you're browsing and you want to.
We call that Windows 7.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that it was groundbreaking in the computing space. I just said it was new to OS X. So I think it was those kind of things where it was like, yeah, I remember doing that before. Mission Control. One of the things that I hate about Mission Control right now, I'm running a dual monitor setup, and my laptop is one of my monitors, and it's down on a lower level, and then my monitor's up on a higher level. And right now, when I have my monitors in that kind of space, if I want to take a window from Mission Control and pull it up to the top, I actually have to drag it all the way to the top of the top screen. Mm-hmm. And they're adding a flick gesture, so I can just kind of flick it up from Mission Control, and it'll take it up to my top screen, and I won't have to drag and drop it all the way up to that top bar.
Okay.
So wow. So that's kind of nice.
That sounds pretty awesome. The flick gesture, I heard about that too, and I was like, that seems really futuristic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like when things get thrown onto another screen, I'm like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Spotlight, they are adding a lot of natural language search to Spotlight, which look like it could be great. Now, of course, when they're demoing that on stage, you don't know how much of that's really natural language versus they have some key things they're going to type in and it's going to look cool. But they're saying that there's going to be more ability to use natural language in search in Spotlight, which I think is kind of cool.
Well, and that's a big thing that they're touting in iOS 9 is that Siri is going to be much more intelligently integrated into those type of things and contextual awareness when you're using those search capabilities, whether it's voice or text. So it's nice to see that they're bringing that into the operating system on the laptop desktop platform too.
And then just in the interest of talking about performance improvements, that you know, they always like to put their little charts up there. They're saying 1.4 times faster app launches, 2 times faster app switching, 2 times faster display of the first email message as you pull email up. So they're saying email's getting a lot faster, which that would be a welcome addition.
Yes, because I've often sat there thinking, man, I wish my email would launch faster.
Yeah, well, I don't actually use the mail app because it's so slow, Jacob. So
I don't use the mail app because I'm not a Philistine. I use Gmail like the good Lord intended, and I do it all in a web browser.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Thanks for making me feel good about myself. Appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for. Just bend over and I'll kick you anytime you ask.
Yep, that's great.
Yeah, because they're rewriting huge swaths of it under their metal branding, right? Which is supposed to be the superior improvement that they talked about with the iOS 8 and further into iOS 9.
And right, in metal, you know, in theory, should make games and stuff really really nice on the Mac too. So that could be kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, nothing earth shattering there. Like I said, I think they're just trying to clean up what was Yosemite. And, you know, iOS 9, you know, again, a lot more exciting if you have an iPad Air 2 than I don't happen to have that.
So. Yeah, you get the side-by-side multitasking, which looks really amazing. Unfortunately, it is only supported on the iPad Air 2. I think on all of the other, the iPad 2, the iPad Mini 2 and 3, and the iPad Air 2, you get the side pane, but you don't get the true side-by-side multitasking. So you're going to kind of have like a little popover notification window that you can like pull a calendar up. You can do email and things like that. And it's running in real time in the foreground while your app is running. So that's pretty slick that they're doing that. And also one that I didn't have on here, but I meant to add is, and I don't remember the Apple approved marketing branded term for it, but they've got a new low power mode where you can enable it if your battery is running low, and it disables a whole bunch of stuff in the background and extends that battery life out. I think what did they say? Like enabling it will extend the battery life up to 5 hours. So if you're running low on juice, you can flip that on, and I guess it toggles off not just the obvious things like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and whatnot, but as they said, it pulls a bunch of levers behind the scenes that you don't have access to pull to really throttle the phone back and try and stretch that battery life out. So, I mean, there definitely have been times where that would be, you know, a welcome thing to have.
Some of the things they didn't talk about, but I've read about as officially, yes, they're going to happen in iOS 9. One thing that I welcome in Settings app, there's going to be a search bar at the top when you go into the main Settings app.
Oh, nice. So you can
search for things, and you don't have to search through that huge long list of all those different settings, which I think is a nice addition. Notification Center is now going to have battery status, so percentage of battery left. Also, if you have an Apple Watch, that'll show into the iPhone Notification Center how much battery you have left on your Apple Watch.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of cool. They're saying the podcast app is getting a revamp.
Which it really couldn't be much worse, right?
Exactly.
The Apple iPod, the Apple podcast app is not a great app.
And then, of course, the San Francisco font. Woo! Right? I don't know. Does anyone get excited about fonts, really?
There's like three people, and they probably don't listen to this show, that are like, oh my gosh, he's talking about fonts.
Are you kidding me? I love fonts. I'm not just saying that. I'm like such a font freak.
So are you excited about the San Francisco font?
Well, I don't have an iPhone, so not really.
Okay, well, maybe this is what pushes you over the edge and makes you go back to iPhone or go to iPhone for I don't know.
I have probably a Galaxy Note 4, so I'm not switching anytime soon. No.
I think we need to cut this guy off, Jeff. A Galaxy Note 4.
Yeah, you know. Maybe he's the balance to the force that we've been looking for.
Possibly. But, you know, I mean, I realize that Apple does do a phenomenal job with the typography and the fonts and all that. But I don't know that I've ever really sat and looked at my iPhone and thought, this San Francisco font is glorious. So I'm curious if that's just one of those subtle things that they do because they do, and a tenth of a percent of people even notice that.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean, fonts are supposed to make you feel something about what it's saying. So the reason that it's in that font is because it's trying to evoke something in the, when they put it in that particular font. So,
oh, and I don't know, the other thing that was very exciting that they didn't even talk about, but we saw it, and hopefully it's not only an iPad thing, because where I saw it was on the iPad, but I can't imagine that it is lowercase letters on the keyboard.
Oh, yes, please. That is far overdue.
So that happened. I mean, at least on stage, on screen, it showed lowercase letters. So that could be very exciting, right?
Because apparently they can't fix whatever bug it is in third-party keyboards to make third-party keyboards usable. And get it right, Apple, because I don't care how good the stock keyboard is. I want SwiftKey. SwiftKey is the best, and it is completely unreliable.
It crashes the messages app all the time.
Yep.
And it's so annoying because it works so well when it works, and then it just crashes everything and won't work, and it's very annoying. I agree. I gave it another chance. Like, I just installed it like 3 days ago. I was like, oh, surely to goodness they have those bugs fixed.
No, they don't. I was really hoping, because I had read somewhere after the, I think, is it the 8.3 update that was from, I don't know, a month or so ago, that there was some love given to whatever that underlying API is for third-party keyboards, and there were some stabilities, and I'm like, oh, I can go back to my Swift key, and I quickly put it back on, and within mere moments, I was having problems in the Messages app, and I went, curse you, Apple, and I took it back off.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch OS 2. So that's happening.
Which, you know, everything that they admitted, yes, where were you on the night that Watch OS 2 was released? Everything that they talked about, I'm glad it's there. It's all stuff that I feel like should have been there from the get-go, and I'm curious how much they were pressured to get it out the door because they had promised that that early April release. But, you know, nothing groundbreaking, but stuff that you're just like, well, yeah, that should have been there. Like, you know, native apps, which is going to be nice, so you don't always have to have your phone with you. They're doing some deeper API access into the microphone. The one that they really talked up, which they made it seem like it was like just the best thing since sliced bread, is the ability to take a picture and create a watch face from it, which I was kind of like, really? Why are they spending so much time on that? Who cares? But they really seem to be excited about that. The one that does excite me, though, is the ability to play long form audio from the watch itself, which is kind of cool because, you know, if you are one of those, you know, let's say wacko nut jobs, like, I don't know, let's say your name rhymes with Reich Hallman, who goes on 10 mile runs, you could load up podcasts right onto your watch and take it with you without having to have your phone.
I'm sorry.
I love you, Mike.
Reich. I'm sorry, Reich Malman.
I'm just saying.
But two ends.
The only good reason to go for a 10-mile run is if a bear is chasing you. That's it.
I kind of feel like after 8 miles, the bear's going to be like, screw this.
I don't even think, a bear would run for 10 miles to get you.
No.
Not even if you were carrying a pot of honey. But so that's
kind of nice. Native apps is kind of cool. Be interesting to see what they do with that. One thing that they didn't mention I hope they pull the trigger on is third party watch faces.
You know, that's such a sticky wicket when it comes to intellectual property, though. Like, I could totally see at some point in the nearish future them partnering with, you know, brands,
tech lawyer or whatever,
maybe not luxury, because the luxury market is, I think they don't know how to respond to this because they see what's going on over on the Android side where people are making counterfeit watch faces and things like that, and they really have no repercussions. And then obviously they're completely locked out of Apple, and I think Tag Heuer is actually working with they may be just doing it themselves, but they're coming out with a $1,500 Android Wear smartwatch of their own, which I think is going to be just a roaring success because the market has shown how much it's willing to throw behind a $250 Android Wear watch. They're just, you know, they're just lousy with need for a $1,500 one. So I don't know. I mean, I would love if Apple did, but I can't imagine until they work out the IP over that they're gonna ever release a watch face app that lets you build watch faces or things like that. I just can't see it happening.
They do have, so I guess, you know, neither one of us have an Apple Watch
yet.
but I guess there are other things to the watch face. There's watch faces, and then there's what, complications?
That's correct.
And so, you know, even more complications or more customization available around complications. And then the biggest complaint that I've heard is that the selection of digital watch faces is pretty poor.
Yeah, they just really have kind of two, I guess three if you count with the watchOS 2, the picture watch face. I think there's only two others that are digital, and then the rest are the traditional analog and the Mickey Mouse, which, let's face it, Jeff, if you get an Apple Watch, it's going to be the Mickey Mouse.
Well, of course it is, but that's not the point.
and I'm curious because what I didn't catch if they said this definitively or not is whether or not they're going to open up complications to be available via API integration for third party and developers, because there could be some some really interesting things come out of being able to add a complication for an app that you frequently use onto the watch face that lets you maybe have very high level access to data in an app that you frequent. An app that I use and love is called Lose It, and it lets me track what I eat and make sure that, you know, I still, you know, how many calories I'm eating every day and all that stuff. And it would be nice to have maybe like a complication that shows, oh, I've still got, you know, 2000 calories left today because I had a real light breakfast. Maybe I can have a bigger lunch, or, you know, oh, well, I had a heavy breakfast, so maybe I'll go a little bit lighter and I'll only get the double hamburger instead of the triple today or something like that. I never said I was actually trying to lose it. I just want to keep track of it. But, you know, having those complications being, you know, app dependent would be kind of a cool thing to do. And I'm not sure that they're doing that, but, you know, hopefully they will. I'm very interested to see what the developers have up their sleeves now that they're going to be able to run things natively on the watch. I think that there is, you know, man, I can't even imagine some of the things that are going to shake out.
Diablo 3 on a watch.
Because you know what makes Diablo better? Inch and a half Diablo. I've often said to myself, can I strain my eyes while hurting my fingers trying to play a video game on a tiny little screen? I don't have enough of that in my life.
Exactly. So I think the thing that we were probably both most excited about was actually the Apple Music announcement.
Absolutely.
The thing I'm most excited about is the $14.99 a month family plan for up to 6 devices. Yeah. I am stoked beyond belief. I've been holding off and holding off and holding off to hear what Apple's going to come out with. And that has probably sold me on it, because the ability to give everyone in my family, you know, 30 plus million tracks, to be able to share playlists, to have Siri integration, integration to the 23,472 songs that I own myself, mm-hmm. Along with those 30 million. I think that's really cool. And, you know, that's, I can see pulling the trigger for $15 a month for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. I'm already going to pull the trigger on the $10 a month for me. And really now it's a question of, am I going to pull the trigger for that for me, or am I going to spend $15 a month for me and my girlfriend? She was kind of meh when I was telling her about it the other day, and I don't understand that. I'm like, get excited. This is really cool. I'm really excited about the human curated playlists, because Google has brought those in with the Google All Access Music, and yeah, it's really nice. Like just this last week, I was cutting the grass and I threw my Bluetooth headphones on, and I really didn't have a podcast I particularly felt like listening to. And I pulled up the Google and I went, you know, bloop, 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 and had, you know, music playing, and it was human curated and it was great. And so I really think that that is an underrated thing, that people, if they aren't using a service that has it, they don't know what they don't know. And that it's, you know, you don't get like a song that doesn't kind of feel like it flows and fits with it, because it's not a computer going, well, you know, if I play this, then I need to play that. So I'm really excited about that. And the Siri integration, that's a big thing. And it seems to be pretty contextually smart, Siri integration. You know, you can do things like this, I thought was cool. You say, play the top song of 1985. And, you know, it goes out there and scans its database and plays it. So having that in the car, man, I'm kind of stoked about that. There's nothing about the Apple Music announcement that doesn't have me excited, except for really probably the what are they calling it? Beats One Radio. I don't really have strong, you know, feelings one way or the other towards that. I guess it's there if you like listening to DJs spinning hits.
Yeah, but isn't that Radio One, isn't that going to be available even if you aren't a paying Apple Music subscriber?
That is true. That is going to be a piece of the new Apple Music app. And so I'm curious if there are going to be two versions of it, one with ads baked in for the filthy non-paying scum, and one without ads for, you know, those enlightened of us. And I'm also curious to know what happens with iTunes Match, because, you know, I realize that's only $25 a year and you get to keep all your music in the cloud. But do you get that if you sign up for the $10 a month Apple Music, or is it still a separate thing that you have to pay for?
Now, the way I understood it, that your music library wouldn't be included if you did that. So I would think that that would have to mean that your iTunes Match would be there.
which, you know, that's something that I need to find out because I am an iTunes Match customer because, you know, the, you know, $25 a year and the friction to have it is pretty low. And I do like having all of my music there in the cloud so I don't have to keep gigs and gigs on my phone. But I don't want to have to pay $10 a month and $25 a year. So we'll see.
So that's how you can listen to all your illegal Disney music.
That is correct.
iTunes Match.
Right. Yes.
That's all I use it for anyway.
Yeah. So are you? I think
that's the only thing you should use it for is illegal Disney music. It's sanctioned and endorsed, everybody.
Okay. Stop it. Nate, are you interested in Apple Music? Because they are going to have an Android app.
Right. I'm guessing this is the, you know, Spotify is the big competitor here.
Right.
Yeah. And there's some stuff that's not on Spotify. I mean, like AC/DC is not on Spotify.
Right.
Much to my son's like disappointment. And I'm wondering if is it going to be a larger library? Because I don't know offhand the Spotify library size versus the, you know, the Apple Music or the iTunes library size. I'm guessing they're pulling all from iTunes. Everything that's available in iTunes will be available on Apple Music.
Not exactly, because I know the Beatles. Because I know the Beatles will not.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
I think they're all real similar. Like, I mean, they all have roughly the same amount of tracks. I think there's some variation in like, I just drew a blank, Page and Plant, Led Zeppelin. I think I want to say Led Zeppelin's only on Spotify. But I don't think they're on any of the other services.
AC/DC is not on any streaming music service.
Okay. And I don't think Taylor Swift is anymore.
Taylor Swift is on
Beats. Let me tell you the biggest problem I have with Spotify is it is so confusing on how to find someone else and follow them. All right.
Like it is.
Unless you like find the name of one of their playlists and you just put that name in, but just, I can't go into the top left corner and like put in someone's name and be like, oh, they're either an artist or it's a playlist or an album or it's someone on Spotify. You know, you can't find that. It's so hard to find. So I think from like the social perspective, I think Apple Music will probably nail it because they already have, you know, that they already are invested in so many other, you know, avenues in how to connect you to other people. I think that that's going to be the payoff is you're going to be able to find other people's playlists easier, maybe make comments on them, you know, tell them, hey, add this, don't add this. I'm just guessing here, but I think that's going to be the big draw. I am like a premium Spotify customer, but I'm not married to Spotify. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if it's better, I'll jump over to that because, you know, I always want what's better.
Since you're on Android, I'm surprised that if you're paying for streaming that you're not paying for the Google All Access because, it's so much better than Spotify.
This is the only Android device I have is my phone.
Okay.
And so my wife has iPhone 6 Plus. I'm the only one that has, this is the only Android device I have in the whole house, you know?
Okay.
So I use iPads. I use, you know, a MacBook for everything. And I use, I guess my wife uses hers and my son has an iPad mini. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're all on Apple devices except in my hand.
Right.
So that's the reason why is just because I can pull up my stuff when, you know, he and I are cleaning his room. I'll just pull up stuff on his iPad versus, you know, pulling up stuff on my phone.
The Google Music app works great under iOS as well.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll try
Google,
it out then.
Google Play Music. It works really nice. Now, I will say this. It may not play nice with your car radio if you have an integrated plug for like an iPhone because like the Spotify app in my car works just flawlessly. The Google Music app on my phone in the car is a piece of garbage. So, you know.
Okay. I just Bluetooth through my phone.
Then you're probably fine.
Yeah.
But the Google app is infinitely easier to navigate. It's easier to find things. The nice thing about the Google app is it will also combine the music that you have. If you've uploaded it to Google, it knows that that's your library. So if you have some eclectic stuff that's not part of the Google library, I mean, I think their library is like 20 million songs, just like all the rest of them. But, you know, again, they have stuff that is exclusive to them and that the other places don't have. But it'll include, you know, all of the music you upload to. I recommend checking it out. I'm going to switch to Apple Music, but the Google All Access Play app is pretty nice, even under iOS.
Cool beans. All right.
Some other errata that came out of last week, Swift, which is Apple's new programming language, they are creating that into an open source project, which is kind of cool. Now, out of the gate, it's only going to support OS X, iOS, and Linux. They are not open sourcing the Swift runtime, which is the virtual machine. So there's kind of limited platform support. I know that there a bunch of developers are clamoring for them to open source that or release a port to run under other platforms. So I'm curious if we're going to see an adoption of Swift, because I've seen some developers online and some people I know who say that Swift is such a better language compared to Objective-C. I am not a programmer, so I can't really speak to it, but I think it's pretty cool that you know, Apple is open sourcing at least the core of the code base, because you know, it's from what I've heard a really, really nice language, and you know, developers are excited about it. So I'm curious to see if we'll start seeing, you know, Swift other places, which I've got to assume if that's the case, it just makes it that much easier to backport in making them you know, native OS X and iOS apps. We might see some really cool Mac apps come to Linux because of those Swift libraries being out there. So that was a big kind of nerdy announcement that, you know, I think got the developers excited. That was one in the keynote that got a bunch of applause compared to some of the other things that they talked about. So
yeah, and I don't think it's as big of a deal as everyone made out of it, because unless you open source the platform support, who cares? I mean, I know that people...
Okay, but what about the ability to take a very successful application on the Mac today and mm-hmm. recompile it, and all of a sudden it's available on Linux?
Well, I think that that's somewhat okay, but let's face it, Linux is not, I mean, it's not like that's going to bring it to millions of new people. I mean,
don't kill my dream of a world that runs OS X and Linux, Jeff.
Okay. What you love later, we're just going to key right into this, but I still think that that is, again, unless you make it to where it will run on Windows and or Android platform, this really doesn't mean anything.
But you know, what is the underpinnings of Android?
Oh, it's absolutely. Dun, dun,
dun. It's Linux.
I understand
so that. So it's not a huge stretch to think that eventually Swift could be used for Android development too.
Well, if that were the case, then yay rah, and then it is a big deal. But until then, I don't think that Swift becoming an open source project is that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, it's better than it not being open source, don't get me wrong, but I think people are making way too big of a deal out of something that doesn't really mean much.
I don't know. That sounds like stickler talk to me.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I don't know. It made me happy. I'm excited. So there you go. 50-50. Jeff's not excited. I'm excited. Whatever you guys think, we'll let you guys be the deciders.
So, Nate, tell us about this t-shirt thing. The reason we brought Nate on,
I like t-shirts. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now.
Kind of. Nate, t-shirts. Tell us more.
Well, okay. I'll just go from there.
What a segue right, so, in.
So t-shirts, yes. They're like regular shirts.
Only yeah. T. No.
Right.
So, okay.
So I host a podcast. It's called Webby Radio. It's a Disney podcast, Disney history podcast. We've been really successful over the past few years of selling t-shirts. And to support our podcast, to keep the show floating. And one of the things that I like to do is like to design really unique t-shirts that aren't just like the podcast logo, t-shirts that are, you know, somewhat unique to Disney fans, since we have a Disney history show. And so this past year we did a t-shirt sale that was really, really successful by integrating some old Disney ideas, but not really putting Disney on the name or anything like that. And we decided to do some unbuilt or some long forgotten Disney things. And one of them was the Mineral King Ski Resort. And one of them was the Tower of the Four Winds, which was one of the things that they debuted at the 1964 World's Fair, yep. Which is kind of a Disney history geek, you know, lore there. So we're really successful with t-shirts. We've been selling t-shirts for the past few years. And when I went to pick up the t-shirts from my brother-in-law's dad, who owns the print shop here in town, he said, hey, I'm actually thinking of retiring, but, you know, you're doing really well with your t-shirts. Would you, you know, if you want to buy some equipment from me, I will tell you, show you how it all works, do all that. Thought about it for a while and thought, you know what? That actually would be a pretty good idea. So I just said, you know, I'm going to throw caution to the wind and use the money we made on our last t-shirt sale and create a new company that makes t-shirts for podcasts and blogs websites. Yeah. Yeah. So, as a podcaster in the last, like I've had a podcast since 2009. So, you know, as a podcaster, there are very limited, you know, means of revenue. You can, you know, have sponsors on your show. You can, try and sell things, try and charge for products that you make. But one of the things is just t-shirts sales. Most people who are podcasters use like Cafe Press or Redbubble or Zazzle or Spreadshirts, mm-hmm. one of those big, huge sites where you upload your logo, they charge a nominal fee, you can upcharge to make any money off of, and you don't really make any money. Your customers end up, or your listeners end up with your gear, but you really don't see anything off it. So when we decided to start selling t-shirts, we obviously, because it's my brother-in-law's dad who had the company, we got them at a very, very cheap rate. Mm-hmm. Basically what print houses get them for. And we're able to resell them online for what you would normally buy a t-shirt for, around $20. And we were able to make money. And I thought, you know, maybe this could be a good like business opportunity and allow other shows and websites to be able to sell their products and make some money off of, instead of giving it to Cafe Press, Zazzle, Redbubble, or Spreadshirt. So I decided, okay, I'm going to start an online store and a company that makes t-shirts and works with podcasters and bloggers and website owners and allows them to either come up with a logo themselves, use their own logo, make some limited edition stuff. And because what we found was the best way to really sell this was to sell it for like a month. Mm-hmm. And that creates a limited time for people to partake in this. Because if you have a website store that's open year round, nobody goes because they can go at any time. So they don't ever make time to go. And most podcasters will tell you that, yeah, I've probably sold 5 shirts in the past year because no one really goes. But if you do this, you create it open for a limited time. And at the end of the month, what you do is you keep it open for a month, let's say July 1st to July 31st. All right. At the end of the month, you create all your shirts and then you mail them out. So it's a very low overhead business where we don't have a lot of extra inventory, and we're able to provide listeners and readers with stuff that reps the stuff that they like. And we also allow the podcasters and bloggers and website owners to make money because we cut them in on the deal. So essentially what we're doing is we're cutting out the middleman. We're going to give, you know, like right now, for instance, we're doing the Be Our Guest podcast cruise t-shirts, and people that are going on the cruise, they, you know, they're there with their friends. They want to wear the same stuff. So we're selling shirts for them and we're giving them a pretty good deal, and they're able to buy shirts. So we're trying to do that with other groups. And what we've done is we've been able to reach out to about 10 different podcasts and put them on a schedule. And I don't want like everyone's podcast on the site at the same time. I don't want anybody to be buried at the bottom. So I'm basically limiting it to 3 per month. So we'll have 3 different podcasts or shows or websites or whatever. And they're going to be on there and they'll be available for a month. And then at the end, I make all the shirts. I mail them out. I share the profits with the website owners, and everybody's happy. So that's what we're doing. And it's going pretty well, I have to say. I was a little worried at first. I was like, maybe they won't want to do it. Maybe they'll, you know, and I'll use your logo or I'll make you a logo, and we don't charge anything for setup fees or screen fees or design fees or anything like that. So essentially it's, you know, it's a good deal for everyone all the way around.
That's pretty cool.
It is a creative outlet for me too, because I'm able to make something, you know. That's another thing. It's like in the past few years, I've been like, you know, I'm a history teacher and I love what I do, but I don't make anything. There's no, and I love making stuff. I don't do, you know, there's no finished product that you can look at and say, this is, you know, something cool I made.
A child's opened mind. Really? Come on. Well, you make civilization better.
No, that's great. And I love being a teacher and I love my kids and I love the school I'm at, but you know, it's you want to do stuff, you know what I mean? I'm a curious individual. I like to do things. So this is another thing. And I converted my podcast studio, which is my garage, and so into a podcast studio / t-shirt studio. So I'm in here right now, basically leaning on my t-shirt dryer while I'm talking to you. But yeah.
Very cool.
So the exciting news is I think we're going to do a No Better Than Average podcast t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
And this is going to be a limited time thing. And the first one's just going to be our logo. We'll try to get on the schedule again sometime later in the year and do something different. This will be the only time that you can get the No Better Than Average logo t-shirt.
I love you guys' logo, by the way. It's awesome.
Thank you. I think we've got a decent logo. Now we need to slap it on a t-shirt and get some t-shirts out to you, the listeners, who love us just as much as we love us.
Yeah, so the website...
We're not at all too humble or anything.
Yeah, the website is... it's called the Imperial Shirt Company, so imperialshirtco.com. And you can go there, and there'll be, like I said, we'll have... a couple different things. So it'll be your guys' logo, and it'll probably be another podcast logo, and the crew shirts will be gone by then. But or actually, they'll probably be on there for a few days, and then they're going away because their cruise is actually at the beginning of July.
Right.
So we'll be you'll be on there, and that's a pretty easy order form. We use Stripe, which is a lot like PayPal, and it's the website. I'm a huge fan of Squarespace. I've been on Squarespace since 2009, way before they were doing Super Bowl commercials. I was on Squarespace, but their e-commerce is really, really good, and they allow us to have inventory control and all that on there, and make it easy to work with. So it's a good alternative to PayPal, and it costs about the same, I really am liking the way that it's working out.
Yeah, Squarespace is actually a pretty cool company. I played with Squarespace originally for our website, and ultimately didn't do everything I wanted to do. But man, it was, for what it was really slick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. For the tiered, like there's the entry level, which is basically just like a blog or a website, and you can bump that all the way up to like having a store. So we're on the top tier of that for the Imperial Shirt Co. But webwayradio.com. is on a Squarespace site as well. So I've really enjoyed working with them.
I have to say, I'm looking at the website and I love the design that you have for the Come See the World's Fair Wonder. That is cool. Yeah, I love that googie design. That's the one
that we did in January that was really popular. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah,
you can see our old designs on there too. If you look at the top, it says see our previous projects. Yeah, we've had a bunch of different ones.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I may have to talk to a guy I know about getting one of them World's Fair Wonder.
It's a limited edition, Jeff. Yeah. Stop being a rule breaker, you stickler. No shirt for you.
Like when it's over, I do get emails, and like, you know, someone will discover your show in 3 months from now, and they'll be like, "Oh, can I still get a shirt?" And you have to say, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, they're no fault of their own. They missed out on the sale, but you kind of have to do that so you don't end up spending a whole bunch of extra money to get somebody one shirt.
So do you keep the screens and hide them, or do you truly just recreate the screen so it is gone?
You know what? I keep all the screens. I'm not going to lie. I save the screens because
you can bring it out of the vault.
I'll reverse the colors at some point. You know, I'll do like a fifth anniversary edition of that shirt. So instead of doing like it on a gray background, maybe we'll do it on a blue background and just flip flop the red and gray and all that. So, you know, we say we're retiring it, but it's not lost forever.
We'll You're just putting way. It in the vault.
It's down there with Song of the South. Song of the South and the screens are actually in the same vault.
God, don't we all wish
nobody who's out. Like under about 30 years old knows that movie exists.
That's true.
True. They're never going to release that one, are they?
No,
I saw it at the movie theater in 1986. I still remember.
Yeah, I went with my grandfather and saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
That's never coming back, folks.
Oh, come on. Where's that good old fashioned racism, Disney?
I don't really think. Is it? I mean, here's I haven't seen it.
Oh, yes. It's very racist.
No, it's not.
I don't really think it's racist. I just think it reminds people of racism. I mean, is Gone with the Wind racist?
Well, it's just Nazis, right?
Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, no, not Gone with the Wind. I'm thinking of, Oh, what's the other one? Judy Garland. You know what I'm talking about. Why did I think Gone with the Wind? I'm thinking of Sound of Music.
Which doesn't have Judy Garland in it at all. Not
Judy Garland. That's Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews.
No, but Gone with the Wind is not. I wouldn't consider it racist, but then again, I probably wouldn't be, a person to judge. But, I think it's in that same vein. I just think Disney's just not going to go there. Like, we're not going to put ourselves out there, and so we're just never going to release it.
Yeah, I don't know.
They did release a lot of World War II, pre-World War II cartoons that were of questionable,
Yeah, where they were making fun of the Japanese.
Or Jewish people with like the Three Little Pigs.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you haven't seen it, you wouldn't know it because the one that they show now has that part cut out. But the wolf comes to the door dressed as a Jewish peddler, and it's basically just like very exaggerated features, things like that.
Well, anyway, we're very excited. We'll be putting up information in the show notes about where to go and order your limited edition. Soon to be put in the vault, No Better Than Average podcast t-shirt. That's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Even if nobody buys them, I want one. I want all of that effort to go into making one. It's really limited edition. Are they all hand numbered?
You know what? Maybe I will hand number and sign each one.
Oh, yeah. Fancy.
Now what would you pay?
These are $49.95 t-shirts, everybody. I will only accept it if it's a Hanes beefy tee. What kind of shirt do you like? What's your t-shirt of choice?
I like American Apparel myself.
That in big fat size? Because I need big fat size.
They can't, or I can get it in big fat size. I can get another shirt in big fat size. I can get a Gildan, Ulster cotton or whatever in a larger size. Normally what we do is we do the poly cotton blend up to XL, and then anything above XL, we use the BVT.
Yeah. you use the tent awning company. We're going to need 40 square yards of canvas.
You know what I did is on these cruise shirts, I did kid sizes, and I never do kid sizes because you have to make new screens because they're so small.
Oh, sure. Right.
But I was like, man, these people are taking their kids on the cruise. So I was the nice guy. I was like, okay, I'll make them in size youth, medium, large, and extra large. And I'm like, there's no way this is fitting on a shirt. And I measured it out, and I'm like, it's not fitting. So I got to make all new screens for like three kids. I know.
Oh, Nate.
Yeah.
Cafe Press, just nice outsource guy. Those.
You know what? That would be a good idea. Just outsource the three of them to Cafe Press.
That might have been a better choice.
Man, I can still do that, actually.
Yeah, you might want to consider that.
So I have a question. Like, do you find the process of making the shirts like soothing? Because I had a good friend of mine who, gosh, years and years ago, bought a whole silk screening setup, was gonna like make his fortune in silk screening, and I don't think he did, but it was a very peaceful like process of making t-shirts. It's very almost meditative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he had maybe a six head machine, and I mean, you'd put the thing down and you'd pull the ink across, and it was just a very like, you didn't really think about what you're doing too much. I don't know. I helped him out a time or two, and I really just enjoyed the process of it.
Yeah, it is actually pretty fun. I have a six head machine as well. So, I mean, if you think about it, like the whole process from burning the screen, washing the screen, and then lining it up and then making the shirt. I mean, it's about a 10, 15 step process, depending on how complex the design is. I mean, there's a lot of variables there, but it's easy. I mean, it's basically doing a simple job, but it's you're doing something different each time. But I get why that is. For me, I'm a perfectionist. So if a screen has a tiny error in it, I will redo the whole screen. If there's something that can't be fixed with like just a tiny piece of Scotch tape, I'll redo the whole screen just because I don't want anyone to be disappointed with their product. You know, but
just keep in mind that when you're doing our t-shirts, the name of the podcast in big bold letters is No Better Than Average.
So. You need a No Better Than Average t-shirt to go with your No Better Than Average podcast.
I'm just saying, keep
let me just say that your guys' logo is better than average, because there's a lot of logos out there that are just not good. You know,
the hidden little secret is we actually try to be way better than average on most things, but
and that way, if we just want to tell people that it's kind of like Scotty on Star Trek.
That's right. We promise average, and then if we overperform from average,
it's just good for us.
That's right.
And if we don't, we're like, well, we told you. What do you want?
Exactly.
We'll give you your money back. That's right. We have a 100% money back guarantee on this podcast. If you are not completely satisfied, we will refund you in full for every penny that you have given us.
Have you guys got an email yet?
We've got complaints about at least something? One. Oh, the complaint email.
Yeah, no. Have you got an email yet where somebody complains about something? Oh yeah.
You know what? I don't want to jinx it. We have not. So far, our fans have been phenomenal. They have said only nice things. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And nobody has given us anything that they don't like. So now we have probably just jinxed ourselves.
Pull that line out. I will give you your money back if you're dissatisfied. You know, because some people just have. And what's good is like, you know, okay, well, if they cared enough to send an email complaining, then you're doing it right.
Yeah.
We've been doing this
a few more years than us. So I kind of feel like, you know, we'll get there.
Hey, you guys got nominated for the podcast awards.
Yeah, that's true. That's fantastic. Still aren't exactly sure how, but we'll take it.
That's great. I still think somebody snuck us in there somehow. I don't know how that one happened.
That's great. I saw that and I was like, wow, that's amazing. Cause, I believe it or not, it is really competitive. I mean, it is really competitive because there's I remember a few years ago, the first time we got nominated, I sent an email to the guy thanking him. And then he was like, wow, no one ever thanks us. I was like, really? Like, yeah. So I said, just to know, I mean, how many podcasts did you get got nominated total? And he was like, tens of thousands. And I was what? Yeah. So I think some spaces may be a little more competitive than others, but yeah.
Well, and you know, the technology category is, you know, it's not like there's any other technology podcasts out there. We're kind of in a niche.
Well, but there are.
We're joking. There's
the most podcasted genre out there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's why I am really looking forward to my next podcast, which is all about crochet. I feel like I'm going to shoot right to the number one spot. Jacob's Crochet Hour.
I just want to point out that I will not be joining Jacob on his Crochet Hour podcast. Sorry.
You don't want a nice scarf, Jeff? You're killing me.
I want a scarf. I just don't want to talk about making it or make it.
Knit one, purl two, Jeff.
Oh, no. That is not crochet. That is knitting. Not crochet. I will get my sister on you. She will educate you all about knitting and dropping stitches and all of that stuff.
See, here's the thing. My mom will knit me a scarf if I really want one.
But it won't have the love in it like mine will.
I think it will.
But I'll knit mine out of merino wool for you.
Yeah, she'll knit it out of anything that I buy.
I'm glad I've wrecked your podcast into just talking about knitting.
You are awesome, man.
That's my goal. That's my goal. That's perfect.
Well, we probably ought to kind of start thinking about wrapping it up.
Probably should. One of the things I don't know if Jeff mentioned to you, we always try and end the episode on is we talk about something that we love. It can be a thing, a gadget, a book, a movie, anything like that. So if you've got something that you would love to share with us that you love, that would be great. And if you don't, that's okay too. Jeff and I come prepared with things to talk about. So I just thought I would offer that out there in advance. Yeah.
All right. I don't have to go first, do I?
I'll go first. And then if you have something good. You can.
On the spot right now.
No. I'll go first.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what I love, so earlier we were just talking about that no one uses Linux, and I'm going to say that I love Ubuntu.
Bless you.
Yeah, exactly. I happen to inherit my parents, I told you, had bought a new MacBook Pro to be their home computer, listening to my advice. And that was one of the things I loved recently. And this has kind of become from that. They had a Windows Vista desktop, an old Dell, just sitting there. It was just painfully, horribly slow, didn't work for anything. And they were like, just get it out of our house. So I brought it home and I happen to have an extra monitor and an extra keyboard. And I thought, you know, Jacob's been bugging me about this whole Linux thing and I need to come into the Linux world and have Linux babies. And I don't know what all, but so I decided, what the heck, I'm going to give it a shot. So I, you know, downloaded Ubuntu and put it on a USB drive and installed it on this old machine, reformatted the hard drive, got rid of Windows Vista altogether. And, you know, for a little machine that I'm just going to leave up and running in our den for, you know, the kids to come down and search web traffic or do a little word processing or something like that, it is really nice and has breathed new life into what was just a piece of junk machine. It runs really well, quickly, don't have any complaints whatsoever. And so, you know, I love Linux, specifically the Ubuntu version of Linux. It's very polished.
I've been saying I'm going to do that, you know, for so long. I'm glad you did that, Jeff.
Do it. It's actually really nice. It's very polished and works just really well. I'm really happy with it. And, you know, thanks, Jacob. I'm sorry that it took me this long to come into the world with you.
Welcome to the light.
Yeah, it is actually really nice. I was shocked at how well it works.
And you get all the stuff you need. You've got your Chrome on there. I mean, you're not going to, you know, play some of the latest games, but there actually are quite a few through Steam games that you can play on Linux now. It has changed so much. I have tried to run Linux on the desktop for a long time. And for a long time, I was never willing to put the effort that was required in to make it a workable, viable, just make it go desktop. And probably close to a year ago, I installed Ubuntu and I have not looked back, and it has been rock solid. And I have managed to scour the house of Windows. And so it is all OS X and Ubuntu, and it just works great. And it's some trivia for you out there. Ubuntu is a Bantu term that roughly translates into human kindness. So yes, it is humanness or humanity towards others. It's a sort of a philosophical word in the Bantu language. So that's I think that applies to the operating system as well. So yeah, it's great. And the nice thing about it is if you are all interested in playing with it, you can go and download a distribution, put it right on a USB key. You can burn it onto a CD. You can boot your computer up in it and not do anything. It doesn't have to be installed. You can kick the tires. You can play with it. You can see how it works. And then if you go, this isn't for me, you just turn your computer off, unplug, or take the CD out. And when you turn it back on, it goes right back into Windows in your dreary Microsoft way of life, with nary a scratch to what you know. So you can go kick the tires with it and just get a sense of it before you have to commit. And you can also dual boot. That is something that I know Jeff didn't mention, but you can leave Windows on your drive and put Ubuntu on there and switch back and forth between the two of them. So if you're not willing to commit 100%, you can also do that as well. So cool, Jeff. I'm glad you finally got it on there and are liking it. I'm really glad it didn't come back with what I love is hating you for telling me to install Ubuntu.
No, it's great. It's very nice. I'm very pleased.
And it made that older hardware run pretty speedy, didn't it?
It did.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't either, but it makes the old hardware have new life,
it
which
really does.
Again, is you know, I probably could have just done that for my parents and they would have, if there's such thing as free cell for Ubuntu, it would have been golden.
I guarantee you that there is a free cell out there for it. I mean, you even said yourself, you found them a web free cell. So that would have worked.
I did.
Very cool. Okay, so what I love is a podcast, and it is not our podcast. And I know blasphemy talking about someone else's podcast, but there are lots of great podcasts out there. And I like this one so much, I have to share it with you. It is called Caustic Soda, and it is hosted by three chaps from British Columbia, Torin Atkinson, Kevin Leeson, and Joe Foljam. And they are, I can't do a better job of explaining it than just reading what they have right on their website. Each episode of Caustic Soda takes a gruesome, gory, or otherwise horrible topic, such as shark attacks, parasite, and radiation, and breaks it down into an easily digestible, bubbling paste of funny. The hosts discuss the topic's origin, recent news, and pop culture. It's hard science by soft people.
I can respect the soft people part.
They are funny.
Shout out to my brothers.
It is. Softness. I don't think they mean it in the way you and I might embody it, Jeff.
I'm just like, I'm all soft everywhere.
Their website that you can go and get all six odd years of the Caustic Soda podcasts is causticsodapodcast.com. I highly recommend, if you are a trivia nut who likes some casual swearing and funny one-liners, then it is for you. It is really well put together. They really seem to research the topics that they take on, and I've learned a lot. I've learned about how fish will kill you, how heroin will kill you. I actually learned that heroin is not nearly as bad for you as methadone, which they give you to get you off the heroin. So, you know, if you've got a methadone addiction, maybe try some heroin, get right off of that methadone. But yeah, it's a great podcast. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you?
Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, the Drugs Are Bad DARE campaigns of the 80s taught me to fear heroin. But the thing that I learned, one of the takeaways, is that it's not nearly as addictive as you think it is. So I think that the clear message is try it, kids, you know, at least once, because there's only about a 23% chance that you'll get addicted. And, you know, that's better odds than Vegas, people. So, you know, give the smack a little try. I'm just saying.
It's way better.
That's right. That's way better.
I think it's way better than Disney. And honestly, I think Disney costs more when you got the Disney on your back.
You will feel like you are in the happiest place on earth for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And you probably won't do horrible things for several months, you know, and then, you know, then you'll start doing horrible things to get more of that sweet sea horse. But I'm just saying, in the interim, have at it. That's what I love. Nate,
all right,
have you got something better than that? Because that was awful. I can't believe we just told our people to go try heroin.
I don't have anything better than that. Nothing's better than that. Go try heroin. Right. No, I actually just went into my Feedly and I have a tag that's like awesome. And so these are things that I think that are just awesome that I'm liking right now. And first one popped up was something that I discovered a couple weeks ago. It's called documentaryheaven.com.
Ooh, I like where this is going already.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of documentaries and you're a fan of, you know, just kicking back and watching a doc when you've got like 90 minutes to spare. And I went through a period when I was just so obsessed with documentaries. I watched as many documentaries as I could, you know, just on my free time. I've come back to the normal world now, but I still really enjoy documentaries. Documentary Heaven has a ton of free documentaries on it in lots and lots of different categories. I will tell you, some of them are on YouTube and they're not all the best quality, but at least it's there. And you can find a lot of different stuff out there. So yeah, Documentary Heaven.
That's is cool. Awesome. I love a documentary.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, they've got one right on the homepage, Car Crash, the DeLorean story. The Stanley coolest Kubrick. Car ever. Very cool.
Okay, well.
Points for you. Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I guess we know what Jacob will be doing at work this week.
Sorry, honey. I've got documentaries to watch. That is awesome. Very cool. Wow, that's a much better what I love than what we brought to the table, Jeff.
Yeah, well,
we need typical. To start taking a page out of our guests' playbook. They usually come up and throw fire.
I know. Here you go.
Hey, can I tell you what I don't love right now? It is this font called San Francisco because it looks like just like a complete ripoff of Helvetica, but it's just like squished together. I mean, maybe if they took Helvetica and they just pushed on both sides of the letter and made it, then like this is essentially what you get when I don't know. When someone doesn't, when someone likes Helvetica so much that they just base an entire font just on it.
Ah, but you're missing the most important part. It is a wholly Apple owned and licensed version of Helvetica.
Oh, that's slightly squished in. Well, Helvetica, you have to license it. It's not free. You know, it's not.
Yeah, but you don't have to license it from Apple.
True.
And now Apple doesn't have to license it from whoever owns Helvetica. I don't know who owns Helvetica.
Oh, somebody owns it. It's That's one of the first things I learned about fonts. Fonts are not free.
Oh, they're not. And some of them are really expensive. Wow, Helvetica was developed in 1957. It's older than I thought. It is a neo-grotesque.
It was a reaction to just the... There's actually a documentary called Helvetica.
You know what? I think I've seen that there is a documentary about that. I haven't seen it, though.
It came out in like 2006 or 7 or so. It's really good.
I bet I can find it on documentaryheaven.com.
I'm not sure if it's on there, so don't blame me if it's not.
Well, thank you so much, Nate, for coming on. We really appreciate it. We will definitely get information out there to all of our listeners about the website and where they can go here in the coming weeks to get a t-shirt. Again, what was the website that they can go to if they want to see your current designs and shop for what you've got now currently?
Yeah, it's imperialshirtco.com. So
imperialshirtco.com. Awesome.
Yeah, I should pull up a logo and
very cool. Well, that is great. Dude. Thank you for coming on. Everybody, if you've got a question, a comment, you want to tell us what your one song is, we would love for you to get a hold of us and do that. You can call us at our call-in line, and that number, again, we give it to you at the top, we'll give it to you at the bottom, is 317-643-1212. If you want, you can follow us on the Twitters at No Better Show or our website, www.nobettershow.com. You can also send email to us, feedback@nobettershow.com. We read them all, we listen to them all. So if you have something that you want to say to us, we would love to hear from you. If you like the show, we would really appreciate it if you would tell your podcast listening friends about us, if you would tell your non-podcast listening friends about us, and if you would go subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. It helps us out. That is probably the biggest way that we find and grow our audience. So, you know, you putting those reviews out there and giving us those stars, that really goes a long way towards helping us out. And we thank you in advance for that. And those of you who have already done that, we thank you post advance for that. I think that wraps us up for this week. We hope you guys had a great time. We will be back next week with some more No Better Than Average Show. Hope you have a good week. And now you should know better than average too. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks, Nate.
Helvetica is indeed on Documentary Heaven, by the way.
Sweet! You can learn all about Helvetica.
Can I watch Helvetica condensed and get it in less time?
Yeah, it's called San Francisco.